I'm happy for closure. I mean, I'm very happy about all the travels, but I'm also happy to be back here and just sabai. Because when I was leaving, I heard the going to India, this one man, Thai man, was talking to me and he went, kept going, sabai, sabai. And I was saying, Bangkok will not be sabai. And as soon as you get there, it's like you're on one of those treadmills where they speed it up and make you go faster. But anyway, went to Kolkata, and I'm just go stream of consciousness. Most interesting thing was flying out of Kolkata to Delhi. When you think about people with Sukriti and the different things, you know. So, the woman sitting next to me, she's probably in her mid-30s or so, and she has this huge backpack. So, and I can see it's going to be like, it's encroaching in my space, so I offer to place it in the overhead for her. I said, you know, they're probably going to ask you to do that. And she said, yeah, but it's full of sweets. I said, what are you carrying, 108 rasgullas? Because, not 108, but that, she's saying, you put it up top, you know, the rasgullas need to be in sweet. So I think, this is a Bengali woman. She's carrying 108 rasgullas, a kilo, sandesh, you know, like. I said, it's okay with, if that's what you got in there, it's okay with me. And then we started talking. And this is the difference. See, like, if you intuitively observe something in the environment and then just say express an observation, and you mention Shiva or Mahakali, or if you were in the Western world, people have no idea what you're talking about. Like, Bharati Mukherjee has in one of her short stories, there's like a she tells stories of immigrants in America. There's a Bengali man in his house getting in the car to go to work, and an American guy getting in his car, you know, like, hey Bob, hey, you know, how you doing? And the Bengali guy sneezes. Right? It's about to begin his journey. So she says, speaking from his character, he knows there's no way he can explain to his American neighbor that having sneezed, about to get in the car and travel, that he must now go back in the house and begin his journey again. The guy will think he's nuts. So he just goes, oh, I forgot something. And they just, so they conceal all of these things. Right? But so this lady, I started talking to her about Bengali preparations. Like, Kumra, Pul, Chelta, Mochaganta, Neem Begun, and Shukta, and like, you know, their heads start tilting in melt mode. They're like, when you do that, they're just immediately your friend. I mean, I told similar things to a man when I was flying to New York, a Bangladeshi Muslim, and he wanted me to come to his house for dinner. But anyway, so we have this little hug. Then I see her, like, open her purse, and she pulls out this little plastic envelope, and pulls out some mita pan, and, like, puts it in, you know. And I said, are you carrying mita pan? And she goes, yeah, you want some? I said, of course. So, and I said, this isn't the kind that gets you high, is it? She says, no, my father won't allow me to do it. She's still an Indian girl. Her father controls her pan content. But I thought, where in the world can I be, like, sitting on a flight 40,000 feet in the air for 11,000 kilometers? I mean, what do you call them? Meters. And chewing meat upon, you know, flying over Varanasi, all these holy places. They sometimes the pilot points them out. So anyway, got to the Delhi airport. They have Costa coffee for anybody who's interested, which is maybe my favorite, other than Doi Chang. Because it's really Italian. These Italian brothers started, I don't want to like do a promo for Costa Coffee. But anyway, Sandeep took me on the new like Jamuna Expressway, which for veteran Indian yatris, it's amazing. Have you been on that? It's amazing. I mean, it's a, like a super highway. So once you get on it, it's, there are no bullet carts. I'm not talking about that one from before. This is a super a toll road. So you're in Vrindavan in like an hour and a half, maybe two. But it's just, you know. I mean, and people are going fast too, like Autobahn fast, some of them. So anyway, then, because I was wondering, the Chinese were in Vrindavan and how they were doing. Now, if you ask Madhusudan, everyone's fine and it's going on perfectly. And I met Nalina and she said everybody was crying in the first 3 days. Like, what have we done? What have we got ourselves into? What are we doing here? You know, that kind of thing. And when I was in ISKCON years ago, we had something that was known as the off-the-plane freak-out. That's what it was called. The off-the-plane freak-out. And there were instances of people. They got off the plane, never left the airport, and just waited in the transit area to get out of the country. Seriously. There were people like that. So this wasn't that bad, but because they were already being held hostage in Vrindavan. They had no choice. Anyway, and I felt bad too because originally it was supposed to be Abhidhut Maharaj, Paramananda, and myself. And then in the end, you all had to go by yourselves, which is some kind of a test. So, the first time I went to India, I was supposed to replace somebody at the Bombay DBT. And so they told me, just fly into Bombay. And I thought, man, I go to India. I don't get to go to Vrindavan. I fly to Bombay. Yeah. So I told them there were no flights available. The only flight I could get was to Delhi. It was a white lie, or a saffron lie. And then I got there, and the first thing I did was go to Vrindavan. And I was wondering on the train, would I notice a difference when I entered like Mathura Mandal? And I remember one, I kept looking out the window, then suddenly at this one place it was like, and I thought, oh, it's real. The atmosphere has changed. Everything looks same, same, but different suddenly, and feels different. So anyway, we got to meet all of you there. And everything got better after that. And as you've seen, you've seen it all on Facebook, trying to think if there's anything you didn't see. The last thing was, you're not supposed to feed the monkeys, but there's this one monkey who's like a lady monkey. It's just kind of like looking through the grill, and Nalina and I started feeding her the last 2 days. And she'd come every day and stand, sit on the other side of the grill. And you could hand her stuff and she'd just take it. Like, and this is the first monkey I ever seen lick their fingers. I've never seen that. Like when you're eating, licking the fingers.
Huh? In Russia, they say like it's so tasty that you lick your
fingers. Yeah, finger licking good, as the colonel used to say. And you're wondering, which colonel? But I'm just saying, I've never seen a monkey lick their fingers. It just looks so human. And And also, I've given monkeys chanachur before. You know, it's a mixture of peanuts, this, that, and the other thing. And what monkeys will do is they go, they spread it all out. Then they eat all the peanuts. Then they eat all of something else. Then they eat all of something else. They end up eating all of it, but they eat individually, each group. They don't like go like that. But they start with the peanuts. You know, so anyway, we'll talk some other time about, like, I don't want to get all philosophical right now. I think there's like a lot of footage about that. And what else? No, Guru Maharaj's appearance day was very nice because many local people came. But I mean, the local people there and also people from other monks, Westerners, who have some appreciation for Guru Maharaj. So that was nice to see. One little boy sat there with his, like, around, looks like a 7-year-old or a 10-year-old, sitting there with his mala listening to his class. But that cannot top the time in Puri this year where the cow sat in front of me and listened to the class. Right, in the temple room. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I mean, really, like a meter away, the cow was
there. But in the Nathmandir.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, I'm sitting in the Nathmandir on an asan. And the cow sitting there just looking at me for 45 minutes. But then left, like, near the end, and I was kind of like, what, did I say something wrong? And it was actually good that we did this in a minimal way, because there's so many more things to see. So we, and on the last day, we sort of got carried away with the Kadam Kandi, and second time, they took us to the wrong place. Because it has some other name amongst the taxi, what, like, Kara Kandi or something. So, but it was good. We just recognized it for what it is. Stop. And leave something for the future. Because actually, we want to do this every year, every Kartik. And this type of, before all the big pilgrimage, like they're there now, a week before that or so, go. When all the rooms are available, it's not so crowded there. And Sachi Devi and Anjali and Divya Shakti showed up, and also one lady named Braja Seva. From Miami. I think she was a disciple of Janardhan Maharaj. She says her name is Braja Seva. She is from Trinidad. She looks like an Indian, but she is actually born outside of India, in Indian descent. And Madhusudan Maharaj was in great form. And Gopal served everybody very nicely. Tried to show the Chinese how to cook. We'll see about that.
Very nice.
Yeah. There were some things he made that were so good. He said, the only problem is the ego won't allow them to, whoever it is, to just do. Everyone thinks they have like a their own way they can do it. Then it becomes modified. And in the course of time, it's lost. And then before you know it, it's yada, yada, hi dharma. We need Krishna to come down. Yes. Yes. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lolo, for picking us up at the airport.
Welcome.
Hare Krishna. Anyway, and also through Facebook, working with Ajita, over 400,000 people have viewed, 400,000 individual views this week. That's bigger than anything before. We got 50,000, 100,000, 400,000, almost 500,000 people So, but it's work. If you want to do that, it's a combination of work and funding. But it's some of the responses are very good. What else? Yes. Right. I'm saying there's 400,000 views. We have 25,000 likes, but you can see how many people, and the people are predominantly from India. All over India. But India, Brazil, Mexico, all over the world. But India is probably the biggest. Because those people are finding something that they like, which is their culture and modern expression. The people from the West are appreciating it. It's like Prabhupada said, by bringing us, he said it was like white elephants dancing. So irresistible, you can't ignore it. So when they see Americans, Europeans, Russian, Chinese taking to Indian culture, it melts their hearts. And if we're the champions of that culture, it revives them. Like the man said about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, reading one of his books, he said, maybe it was Krishna Sangita. He said, he's revived my faith. Because they were so much damaged by Western propaganda, the British in particular. So India's gone full circle. And usually the largest middle class in the world dictates world taste. And up to this point, it's been my generation, the so-called baby boomers. So that means if baby boomers like Levi's, then Levi's will go all over the world. And the other stuff. The music, the way of dressing, this, that, and the other thing. UNESCO, United Nations, they say that by the year 2050, the largest affluent middle class in the world will be in India, not China, India. So their taste will dictate world taste. And those people, by then, they're not ashamed to be Indian. They're not apologetic about Vedic culture. They're embracing it. Like, and they'll learn in the new way. As the Indian lady, once I was in a restaurant in Bangkok, and this Indian lady's talking to her mom. The mom's in a sari, the Indian woman, like Punjabi or something. And you could tell she was highly educated. And she said, "Mom, what I like about the Thai people, they're totally modern and they're totally Thai. They didn't give up being Thai to be modern. They don't do that. They remain Thai and have a Galaxy S4 and Facebook and WhatsApp and all the other stuff they do. They don't sacrifice one inch of being Thai." So that she was, it was an astute observation. She said to her mom, "So why do Indians think you have to sacrifice being an Indian to embrace being modern? It's not necessary." And as Maheshri and Sandy were saying, the last generation, they had some problems with this. But the modern day Indians are not ashamed of their cultural heritage and don't have to be apologetic about it. So they will dictate world taste by 2050, and these are people who are comfortable with Mahabharata, Gita, Krishna, Srimati Radharani, Guru Vaishnava, etc. So it's something tangible, not just the fantasy, not when it's 10,000 years, right. This is a UNESCO report. Not a devotional fantasy. So we're positioned to lay some of the groundwork for that. Because I may not be with you in 2050. That's what, 30 something years from now? Definitely not going to be here. I asked Ananda Sundar, he got all fired up, and I said, "What are you going to tell the kids at the school about your trip to India?" He said, "I'm going to tell them, India is awesome!" No. Everybody, and I said on the QQ that in the beginning you're all crying, what have we done, why have we come, where are we? And I said, and you'll all be crying when it's time to go that you don't want to leave. I can understand that. Big transition took place for everybody. And now we can see the importance of visiting not just India, but Vrindavan. I remember when I first went too, it reminded me, not, I don't mean to use such a crude example, but like they have, like they call Hall of Fame, where the great players of the past, they show this is his glove, this is his bat, this is the ball he threw, here's some dirt from, you know, they have all that stuff. Because it's important, actually. That's what Mahaprabhu told Rupa and Sanatana. So I remember when I first went in and I thought like, I was rolling in the sand of Raman Reiki, thinking this is where Krishna and Balaram play. Like, I just stare at the sand and see all kinds of things, and people thought, this kid is nuts, you know. But, and went to Madan Mohan first, and had these, you know, fantasy, I'll be the pujari. That lasted for around 3 hours. But when I went there, I was very fortunate because there was no temple. We were staying in huts on those beds that are made out of like string. They're the worst for backache. Not wooden bed, the string bed. I don't know what to call it. Probably a cot.
Like saggy?
Yes, the sagging one. You'd wake up like horrible.
It's meant for airflow.
Yeah, well, and it was very cold, December of 1973. But the cook, and like to bathe, but the cook, here's the consolation, besides going to all the beautiful places. There were two cooks. One was Jamuna of the cookbook, that Jamuna. And the other was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's cook, whose name, full name was Ananda Leela Maya Vigraha. And everyone called him Anand Maharaj for short. And he was this sprightly, and so they were cooking every day. And he, while distributing prasadam, with, what is your name? And he heard, my name was Dhira Krishna. So he started enacting the section of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where Rupa Goswami explains the difference between Dhira Dutta, Dhira Datta, Dhira Lalita, Dhira Shanta. And I later, because each one, like Yudhisthira's one, beings, you know, different, or but then after he went through all of those, then he did each one again, and the answer is Krishna. Krishna's Dhira Shanta, Dhira Lalita, Dhira Shanta, Datta. Each one of the others is one, but Krishna's all of those. That's what he said, Dhira Krishna. And because I later met the other Dhiras, they were all initiated in London. I was in LA. Prabhupada was in London. So someone got Dhira this, Dhira that, Dhira, Dhira this. And they said, oh, there's this one boy in LA. I went, Dhira Krishna. Later, all the Dhiras we met had this little party in Delhi.
And all became very dear to each other.
Yeah, it was fun.
Was that in the Krishna Balaram Mandir was manifested at that time?
No, there's nothing there, just rebar sticking out of the sand.
Right. That property was purchased.
The property was there. With huts, shacks. Gurudas and Jamuna were overseeing. Anand Maharaj was there. This person named Bhagati. That's a long story. But this Surabhi, the architect from Holland, his brother's name was Jagadeva. And he and I sort of teamed up and we would go temple hopping in the evening from one temple to another. And that's what we like this one. Now this is going to be my little philosophical thing. it's all eye exercise. But we were being overwhelmed by the beauty of what we saw. But still, that's something we observe in there. No matter where these people are at, sedantically or otherwise, it cannot be denied. When you see the way they worship the deities, there's something there. You can see it, you can feel it. Generation after generation after generation, they're doing this. It's in their DNA, they're hardwired to do this. And they do it with some love and affection. They do. But they're just different folk. So Mahaprabhu told Jagannatha Pandit, don't mix with them. That doesn't mean, you know, like you think, oh, they're all bad. That's not what he was saying. It's a little more complicated than that. Someone who's like takes birth in the 21st century, Vrindavan, Govardhan, it's going to be a weird mix. The Sukriti, that they sprung out of that soil, and then, you know, they're going to get into hip-hop or something. It's going to be strange. So he's just saying, what's, you know, right for the, you know, you just don't, it doesn't apply to you. You know, it's growing. Oil your own machine. You got to understand, Emerson says, imitation is suicide. Even if you're good at impersonating, it's not you. That's what he means. When you imitate others, you're killing yourself. You're not allowing yourself. And that this isn't the bullshit humanistic thing about, you know, believe in yourself and, you know, and express yourself. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, genuine self-expression. Get rid of all the acquired prejudice first, for starters. Then we'll talk about self-expression. Right? Just like in music. But, you know, in the beginning you start with imitation. You imitate singers. You know that, right? You imitate singers, you imitate a musician to see if you can do what they do. Then later, it's called finding your own voice. You have to let that go. It's how, it's part of the process of learning. Children imitate their parents, disciples imitate their guru. When I first went to Haight Street, Haight Ashbury Temple, the place where I first went, you know, the devotees, it was like, they would imitate Prabhupada. Ah, oh, saw one nice boy, and he came to this asana. And like, you know, like, I'm 19 and you're 22. I'm a boy, you know, I don't get it. You know, like, Krishna consciousness. No, no. Why do you have to say it like that? You know, like, I mean, they were hilarious. Mukundlal, he was so dramatic. Whenever you see him, you go, hello, my friend. I just remember they would do this thing when they give the Sunday feast. Because the door was a swinging door. This is on 518 Frederick Street. So what the head lecturer would have a devotee posted. The door would be shut during the lecture. And they would say, like, beyond this sky is another sky called the spiritual sky. I think I can almost see it. Mm-hmm. It's like when Swami Satchidananda was talking to a bunch of hippies. Half of them were probably tripping. And Steve, and he goes like, just like electricity, you cannot see electricity. And Steve Gaskin said, I think some of the people here have seen electricity, Swami. So, anyway. So you get to this point in the lecture, you go, within this temple, the Sri Sri Radha Krishna temple, it's full of spiritual sound. There are only spiritual sounds. The holy name of Krishna and the sound of service to Krishna. Then they cue him and go, but out there are the sounds of Maya. And then the devotee would swing the door open and, you know, like Hell's Angels on Harleys would come by. And it would, you know, it would be a great, like, punch to his lecture. Except once he did that, and it was just dead silent, really quiet, it was really peaceful. And so the devotee was going, like, walks outside and going, all right, it's just scratch that, but, you know, thing I said about. But, anyway, What was I saying? Why did I mention that?
Imitation.
Oh, imitation. So they were always imitating Prabhupada. Once Prabhupada, my visa, first time I went to India, Prabhupada got my visa for me and 35 other devotees in New York. And he went in there and he blasted the Indian ambassador. Just blasted him sky high. And afterwards he came out and he's going, this is, you know, he goes, I want a limca. And we're going, they don't have limca in America. We're on like 2nd Avenue in Manhattan. But they have 7-Up. He'd never had a 7-Up. So Prabhupada said, oh, there you go. And he's sitting there drinking the 7-Up and he said, do you think I spoke too strongly? And all the devotees are going, no, Srila Prabhupada, no. And Prabhupada goes, yes, I did. I spoke too strongly. He said, I'm an old man. I can speak like that. He said, if you speak like that, they will beat you. Because if Prabhupada did it, then we're all going to do it. So he knew that. He said, don't think you can do what I do. I'm elderly. They show I can do things like that. And what's funny is later, when he goes back to India, and then he has an actual limca, Prabhupada says, it's better than 7 o'clock. And somehow it was. But I said about imitation, but why was I speaking about, getting this point. We're going around all these temples, and there's this one, I'm not going to mention the name, but we go to this one temple, it's kind of hidden in it, and they have this beautiful deity, and they would serenade the deity every evening with a little 5-minute arati right before they rest, and they played this type of drum, maybe a dolak, whatever, but I swear to God, they put puri dough where the god goes. That's what it looks like. They have it on the side, and the guy rolls a little, and like, they slap it on there, and that makes it go boom. And so they would do this very sweet type of kirtan, and then the deities would rest. And that became like our favorite place to end the night, before we would go back to Raman Reiki. So this one night, they see we're coming every evening now. And so and the pujari or something says, you should come for Mangal Arati. And just to say something, I said, oh, I hope it's longer than this one, because these are 5 minutes. And then an old man chimed in and goes, we don't trouble our gods with Arati. You must understand the unique position of the bridge bosses. We don't worship Krishna. We just have pure love. And I reflected, remember Prabhupada leaving the airport? And he quoted Mahaprabhu saying, "Na prema gandasti darapi mehara." I don't have a scent of the fragrance of Krishna prema, but to speak of a drop. And here's the money quote, the punchline. I said, "What about Mahaprabhu?" He said, "I don't have a scent of Krishna prema, but to speak of a drop." Mahaprabhu, that is the beginning stage. Guru Maharaj later said, if someone says this, he said, he should be shot down as the greatest enemy ever known in the world. So, such, in a very high place, what is the greatest danger? If you fall from the high place, you're finished. If you fall from step one, you sprain your ankle. But if you fall from the highest place, you're dead. So Vrindavan is this extraordinary contrast, and the sublime and the ridiculous. I mean, I'm ridiculous too. I mean, we were playing a little bit there, just to try and lighten things up a little bit. But the reason I'm revived, Frank Sinatra had an old song, you're wondering, like, how does this segue to Sinatra? Call.
I mean, you can.
Yeah. Love is lovelier the second time around. It's an old song. I know all my parents' songs. My mom, she's so sweet. When she would vacuum the house, she would sing songs. And I put on records. And like, so I know all these songs, but then sometimes she would sing this one kind of like hillbilly song herself, and I thought, my God, this lady is really sweet. It's on top of Old Smokey. It's like a Dolly Parton kind of, you know, Appalachian Mountain song. But anyway, and the Sinatra song says, love is lovelier the second time around. Sometimes you fall out of love. But if you can fall in love again with the same, it's even lovelier than the first time. So the loudspeakers did me in. After the last time there, I can't tolerate it. I'm just going record, I can't tolerate it. I had to get noise, Bose noise-canceling headphones and listen to like heavy metal just to like be calm.
I'm
glad
I'm not
young. You know. And I went, oh, and Madhusudan always told me, they like met and said, this is ruining it. I think the main thing was, it was disturbing the students, their children, from studying for examinations. And it's always, you know, self-motivation when they realize, your kid is not going to do well in school and get a good job and make money that they could be giving to you. Turn them off immediately. Mm-hmm. So, without the loudspeakers, it like re-expressed itself. It's so beautiful. And I realized that's what I didn't like. It's not that I didn't like Vrindavan. I didn't, even Gurudev said, he went, this Radhe Radhe is making me puggle. Because the guy going, singing the famous, you know, screaming that song, and, you know, it's just horrible. Such a sensitive song, and screaming that, like Nityahari Prabhu said once, like that. And the only guys who like take up one of those battery operated loudspeakers and shout and use it into a mic. There's a mic in the loud, you know. It's okay if, what's the guy in White Stripes? Jack Black?
Jack
Black? White. Yeah. He, I mean, if he did something like that, it might work. But like, you know, some guy screaming at the top of his lungs. That's why Bhangshidas Babaji was disgusted when someone was singing the Viroha, Giti, Yeyanilo Premadana, for the departed Vaishnava. And he said, if you had any feeling for what is in this song, what it's expressing, you couldn't sing like that. You couldn't sing it, the sweet thing you're doing. Not with this song. Impossible. So it's this strange, that's why we're told, we just stay under the care of our devotee, Madhusudan Maharaj, and this Punya Sloka Prabhu. Very sweet, very affectionate. I mean, there's some temple running very nicely there, because Madhusudan Maharaj is there, and the others, so the servitor group. And Gopal took care of everyone. And also we had Chinese noodles, Chandrakanti making, that kept everybody happy. But it was fun, you can see on the Facebook, but when we went to Bunky Bihari, actually we were buying Chandan for Giriraj in Shenzhen. He got a new Shingasan, and he got to be on the altar in Govardhan. That was really cool. And And Nalina said before we left, she said, because whether they could bring him or not, and I said they couldn't, she said, then Giriraj gets to see, go back to his hometown. When he was there on the altar in Govardhan with the Anugir, he really looked like happy. Like, wow, I'm with like the big guys. Prime time. He stayed there all day and we took him at the end of the parikrama. But, so we got different new paraphernalia for him, and we wanted to get the shield, the grinding stone, and the sandalwood, and we're in this scent shop. And we went so far, we were close to Bankhi Bihari. So I thought, well, if we could have Dark, go ahead. I did many years ago, but it wasn't time yet. But then I realized as we went, everything in that part of town is just for Bankhi Bihari. So all the flowers, they're for him. All the everything is just going to him. There's a huge amount of people there. And one thing I didn't take a picture of, I hadn't like pulled my camera out yet, was I'm kicking myself for not doing it, but I think in the future, probably see it again, because Gopal knew what it was. This man and his wife, they're going down the street, and they have an anatomically correct little baby Gopal doll. You understand? Looks like a real baby, but it's Gopal. And they're, you know, and that I did a double take, and then they turned around and and Gopal says with a straight face, goes, oh, some couples, they cannot have babies, they are keeping one Gopal like that. I'm like, who are these people? They take him everywhere they go. Everything they do, Gopal's there. That's their child, is this Gopal doll. I mean, these people are in their 40s. A husband and wife. And they're like, happy as Larry. Only Manasa knows what that means. Happy as Lalita. So, by my own experience, and then I later, 20, 30 years later, heard Guru Maharaj tell the history of that slaughterhouse I wandered into under the name and style of the temple, with the beautiful deity and dedicated singers, servitors. So you can't rely on your own judgment for these things. So Mahaprabhu, Jagadananda Pandit, stay under the care of Sanatan Goswami Guru. It's a profound suggestion. Anyway, I think we'll do this annually. I want to do it. And everything went smoothly. Also, Sandeep Krishna Prabhu, every suggestion he made was perfect. Yeah, you went to the hotel that he told?
Yeah, I didn't say perfect.
Yeah, and wasn't there like a metro that takes you right to Terminal 3 in the airport?
Near the hotel.
Near it, right. So, yeah, so everything went remarkably well. Anyway, that's my report for now. And unless there are any questions, I shall dissolve the meeting. Once, what did Guru say? At the end of one of them, he goes, here I collapse. I didn't understand.